We're joined by Dave Wills, the radio play-by-play announcer for the Tampa Bay Rays, and it's going to be a fun one tonight, Game 6. Rays need to extend the series, push a Game 7, and that's what we want to focus on with Dave. Dave, thank you so much for joining us. If you were to look at tonight's game, what needs to be the biggest aspect to have the Rays push a Game 7, force a Game 7? What's the biggest key?
Well, for me, it starts with us in run prevention, and Blake Snell's got to be probably as good as he was in his previous start, but maybe even a tick better, especially as he starts to see the Dodgers a second and maybe even a third time through the order. I thought he was pretty good for about the first three innings against the Dodgers. He was mixing in his breaking pitches really, really well. The Dodgers had some trouble. I think he established his fastball, too, early on, although he didn't throw it all that much, but at least he showed that he had it and then mixed in his slider-curveball combination. I'd like to see him maybe break out the changeup a little bit more, but even in that fourth inning, where he put him down in order, I think he threw 21 pitches. He's got to avoid the 0-1, 0-2, 2-2, 3-2 counts that the Dodger batters see 6, 7, 8 pitches in an at-bat. Even with a guy that has elite stuff like he does, the more that this Dodger team sees what you have to offer, the better they're going to be, and they've been really good offensively so far this entire series. So for me, it starts with Blake, and then obviously our offense has to be a little more consistent than it's been a majority of the time here in the World Series.
Dave, you've seen for Snell, you've seen the highs, you've seen the lows, and obviously more highs out there than lows for the former Cy Young Award winner. But when you are watching him, you broke down, you know, how he navigates his way through the ballgame. But is there something specifically when you look early in this ballgame, or for our listeners, when we're watching this ballgame in the first inning, is there something to key in on that you know that Blake Snell is on his game?
For me, it's establishing the fastball. You know, he's got four really good pitches, fastball, curveball, slider, and changeup. And I think there are some people who have told him that if you go to a 25-25-25-25 split, you'll be fine. I think he has to throw his fastball maybe a little bit more than 25% of the time. It's 95 to 97 miles an hour. I know he doesn't do it glove side very much, which means pitching in to right-handed hitters. But I do believe that if he establishes his fastball, his other pitches, and I can't call them secondary pitches because he throws them just as much, but his other pitches, especially his slider and his curveball, become a heck of a lot more effective. So for me, I want to see him, you know, again, maybe get ahead with the fastball and then start working off of that as opposed to maybe pitching backwards. And, you know, and the biggest key for me, again, is be efficient. If we start seeing six, seven, eight pitch at bats in the first inning, that's not going to be good news for him, and I don't think it'll be good news for the Rays.
Dave, I'm just interested as you break it down, talking about the idea of attacking more with the fastball, which I wholeheartedly agree, especially with his stuff. But the 25-25-25-25, the idea of that people have, as you mentioned, you know, said that to him or believe that might be the key. Are people inside the organization saying that to him, or is that outside the organization?
I think there's some people within the organization. I really do. I mean, you know, again, we're all about analytics. We're all about swing and miss, And you know, I think they know that he's got some chase stuff. The problem is what we've been seeing is this playoff has gone on. We faced a pretty good team in the Blue Jays in the first round that didn't do a lot of chase, but they were still relatively inexperienced. And then we went to the Yankees, and they didn't do a lot of chase, and that's one of the reasons why Blake was out of ball games a little bit early in that series. And then the Astros were the same way. They kind of nicked them and foul-tipped them to death and got them out of the ball game early, and the Dodgers are even better. So, you know, I think, to me, again, old school, establish the fastball, probably do that about 40% of the time, and then mix in those other pitches. Because, again, if he can place his fastball, and he doesn't have great fastball command, but at least he can move it in and out or even up and down, that becomes, you know, almost like two different pitches. So, to me, it all, with Blake, that's what he did in 18 when he won the Cy Young. He really established his fastball early in games, and that's what I think he has to do here today.
Dave, you mentioned more consistent offense is going to be a key, and most of the offense has come from one guy, and it's a guy we know all too well here in St. Louis, and Randy Arozarena has been terrific. When the Rays made that deal, did they know that's what they were getting?
No, well, they didn't think they were getting a guy that was going to hit nine home runs in the World Series or in the postseason. I don't think that was the case, but I think they knew they were getting a very, very good player that was, they were probably just hoping to maybe round off those rough edges and polish him up just a little bit. I think that, you know, to the average fan, they probably thought that Jose Martinez was the lead guy. But in talking to some of our Rays people here over the last couple of months, and especially after we saw Randy in spring training, we knew that he was going to be the big piece. I mean, Andy Fried and I, who have been doing these games together for 16 years, we watched Randy Arozarena in the original spring training down in Port Charlotte, and I kind of called him the right-handed version of Carl Crawford because he was a difference maker at the plate, a difference maker on the bases, and then could do some nice things defensively. But you could just see that he still was kind of a little rough around the edges when it came to his baseball acumen. So I think what he has done is he slowed his game down. He has become a really, really good, obviously a great fastball hitter. Kevin Cash told us a few months ago that when he was throwing BP against him, he would try to jam him during BP, and he said, he's the only guy I cannot jam because he's got too fast of hands. So we knew we were getting something pretty good. I just don't think anybody anticipated it was going to be this good.
That's great, Dave. Now send him back. You guys can have him for two more games if you want. Go ahead and send him back to St. Louis. I'm glad you had fun with him. That's fantastic. Now, we're talking to Dave Wills, the radio play-by-play man for the Rays. You may not know this, and even if you do, you can tell me to buzz off, but was Randy Arozarena the target in that trade, do you feel, or do you think it was a situation where they wanted Jose Martinez and a prospect?
Well, I think Jose Martinez was on our radar for a long, long time, but, I get the feeling that, Randy Arozarena was the lead target. I mean, he was the guy that they really felt that, would be a guy that they can, I don't want to say build around, but would be a nice piece to have offensively for the next several years. So, Kevin Ibach, who's one of our lead pro scout guys, talked to our pre- and post-game host, Neil Solons, a few times, and it was obvious that Randy Arozarena was the big piece. And we gave up something in order to get something. I mean, everybody always talks about, hey, look at the Rays, they won another trade. Matthew Liberatore's got a chance to be a front-end pitcher in the next couple, two or three years. He's a young arm, a great arm, and in order to get something, you got to give up something. And I'm sure we'll probably be crying in our beer three or four years from now if Matthew Liberatore is going out there and winning 15, 16 games a year.
Okay, that's exactly what Cardinal fans were hoping to hear. Maybe a little something, because as you can imagine, Dave, look, things haven't been good watching Randy Arozarena set all these records. So let's hope. Let's hope we can have you back on and talk about the one that got away, Matthew Liberatore. Hey, I want to talk about Kevin Cash for a minute, because I watched Kevin Cash during the games. The dude is cool, collected. His players seem to love it. What makes Kevin Cash the manager that he is?
Dave, you still there?
I think I lost you guys for a little bit.
Oh, hey, okay, no problem. I don't know if you heard the question. I was just leading you into to Kevin Cash, man. As I watch him during the games, I just love the way he goes about it. You could tell his players respond to him. What about Kevin Cash makes him special?
It's just that. I mean, he's a player's manager. I know that that seems to be a phrase that might be overused these days, but Kevin knows how hard it is to play this game. And you look at his stats, and he'll tell you he proved it for about 10 years, that this game was really, really hard, that he had a tough time hitting at the big league level, but did some nice things in order to help his team win and has a couple of shiny rings because of it. So he learned a lot of things under Terry Francona. Just watching him grow over these last six, 7 years now has been really, really impressive. He had some big shoes to fill taking over for Joe Maddon. And, Joe was a very eloquent speaker. He was a guy that was out in front of everything and wasn't afraid of the spotlight. Kevin was more of a guy that kind of stepped back and wanted to make sure it was the players that got the spotlight, and deservedly so. And again, saw that last year as this team went from 90 wins to 96 wins. I thought he was tremendous with the national media last year during the American League Division Series, and he's picked up right where he left off this year. And obviously had that moment in New York where a couple of beanball battles with the New York Yankees, he just had enough and went off. And I think the players really responded positively to that, because when that was all said and done, he brought a couple of the key players in. Joey Wendell was getting plunked. Mike Brasso, who had the 101 thrown over his head. And he brought him into a meeting and he said, hey, I want to find out from you guys what our course of action should be, because I think we should let this go. We can't let this disrupt what we're doing. And both of them said they agreed. And they said there was a lot of even a couple tears in the clubhouse, because there was a lot of anger and a lot of emotion going on that day in New York. And I think it just solidified everything that these players feel about Kevin Cash. And I couldn't be happier for him. We spend 15, 20 minutes a day with him in our Zoom calls for our 7 or 8 minute pregame. And we just have an absolute blast with the guy. So I'm happy for him. And he deserves all the accolades that he's been getting here recently, because it's not easy for a Tampa Bay Rays team to get to the World Series. That's for sure, especially doing it against the teams that we're doing it against, the Astros who spend a lot of money, the Yankees who spend a boatload, and now, you know, the Dodgers who have more money tied up in two players than we do in our entire team.
Well, Dave, we thoroughly enjoyed our chat today. We've thoroughly enjoyed watching your Tampa Bay Rays, and we hope that there's more baseball to come after tonight. Have a great call tonight, and we appreciate your time.
Anytime. I got clean clothes for at least two more days, so I'm all right if we have to force a game.
There you go. Perfect. Good. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.